And welcome to our program. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us here as we get set to introduce to you for a first Equinox. Equinox is, we're going to basically give you that description here in just a few moments as we bring Joni Sibinski back to our radio program here, and we want you to stay tuned. We're going to be taking your phone calls. There are going to be some ground rules. We'll go through those as we go through the program. We hope that you will enjoy today's program. Understand, there are those who can't even comprehend, let alone wrap their brains around the aspect of channeling. Well, we're going to try to help you work you through that and give you an understanding, because it is something that's new and different, and it is unusual for some folks, and yet it's been around for, folks, it's been around for thousands and thousands of years. Joni and I haven't, though, however. We've only been around for a short time. Joni, welcome back to our program. It's great to have you here. And we have a rather extraordinary, I want to call it an event, that we're going to be perpetrating here on our program, Tell Me Your Story, today.
Yes, it is an event for me, too, although I've been channeling this group of entities that call themselves Equinox for almost 30 years, we have never channeled on the radio, so this is new for me as well.
Well, I hope that they can basically make the transition, as it were, from live people in a room, which, by the way, we have attended back in the Phoenix area, and it's actually been rather fascinating, and most of the times it's been a situation where, well, I already knew that. Well, you know what? Equinox is kind of a confirmation at times, as well as a discerner, if you will, of information. And give us a little bit more of a background. Yes, you've been doing this for 30 years, but tell us a little bit about how Equinox came to you.
Well, I have always, well, I shouldn't say always. When I first started college, I became aware that I was a trance medium. And the way I became aware of that was by attending a seance and just going out and having entities come through me. And over a period of time, I kind of honed that skill, and in my classes would do seances where deceased loved ones would come through me. And I was doing a class in trance mediumship here one night, and the gentleman sitting next to me started acting as though an entity wanted to come through him. And he was obviously uncomfortable and was fighting it. So I told him to relax, and I started sending him energy and opening myself up to help him with this. And about 45 minutes later, I came to laying across the table we were at, freezing and shaking, and that was the first entry of the entities that told us to call them Equinox. Now, that was not quite the name they gave us, but we had so much trouble saying it that we came up with Equinox, and it's been used ever since. And as I've been utilizing them, and they've been adjusting me, this has become easier and easier for me and easier and easier for them. And originally, they spoke very archaically, and it was very difficult to understand them. They still use thee and thou a lot. And they use we because they are a combined consciousness instead of an individual entity. But they're learning, in 30 years, they've learned a lot of jargon, and you can tell it's not my way of speaking, but it is a lot more comprehensible.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that they speak in King James verse, but that was the first thing that came to my mind the first time I experienced Equinox and the these and thous and those, and I thought something strange of that. How have you, in your own mind, before we begin this process, how have you, in your own mind, reconciled this event? Was this, how did it make you feel the first time? And here we are 20, 30 years later, and you're still doing this, and obviously you don't have a problem with it whatsoever.
Well, the first time, it was a shock to me. And for probably the first 3 or 4 years, I kept asking the group of people who were involved with this to convince me I wasn't a multiple personality syndrome or just nuts. But the more that they interacted, the more we became aware that Equinox had very different views of things than Joni did. Now, that has shifted, and Joni has now adopted a lot of Equinox's beliefs, but originally, we were really contrary on a lot of things, and it's ended up where, of course, that they were right and I was wrong. Additionally, other people in our group have had dealings with Equinox when I have not been present at all. So it just became pretty obvious that this was a separate group of entities and was not me. And I've just reconciled after so many years of dealing with them that this is not me at all.
And, of course, people can read more about some of the information that Equinox has put out through your website. And the main gateway, if you will, that folks can go through is going to be, I believe it is, starlighter.com. Oh. And there are several different links at that location.
No, Equinox has their own site.
I believe it's
Mayama.org.
And you can actually access that through that particular link. However, we'll go ahead and focus on Mayama.org.
I think that's the best way to reach them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, we try to put as much on that website as possible. The people who handle it for me, which is completely independent of me, mm-hmm. Are a little behind on updating it because they just had a premature baby. So they've been going through some things in the last 3 months. But I think for anybody new to Equinox, there's a lot of valid information on there that should be read. But as far as new information, that may be a ways coming.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to allow you and your assistant there, Elaine, to begin the preparations, so you can go ahead and do that. And I will just let our listeners know we will be opening up the phone lines, and we will be taking your calls. There are a few ground rules, and we'll try to go through some of those at this particular point. I would have to say that the overall ground rule is we want to keep the energy up. We do not want to bring it down with a lot of discussions about violence and death and terror and those types of things. And Equinox will not be making any predictions about the future, especially on local, national, or international events and those types of things. Those are to unfold as they should. It's one of those interrupting the timeline, if you will, by going back in the past and telling people what's going to happen in the future. And also, as far as asking personal questions of loved ones who have passed on, the only way that you'll be able to do that is to contact Joan through the website. And we'll be giving all of that information and how you can contact her as we progress through the program. At this particular point in time, I know that Elaine and Joan are in the process of bringing the entity in, and also let you know that if you want to get more information about lost loved ones, you can go to findme2.com. That's findme2.com, and you can work through that particular website through the various agencies and organizations to help maybe to find a lost loved one that you've been looking for some time. And let's see if Equinox is available for us yet at this time. And by the way, folks, this is a first for me. Never interviewed a channeled entity before, nor has Equinox ever done a radio program. So this is going to be an interesting transition. And do we have anyone on the line at this point? Is Equinox with us?
Mayama.
And for our listeners, my name is Raja, and I welcome you to our radio program, broadcasting from the Santa Barbara, California area. And it's a pleasure to have you, all of you, joining us today.
And it is a pleasure to be here with thee and thy mate.
Well, we thank you very much for gracing us with your presence, and we wanted to start out with a general question and also ask your permission to take other people who would call into this program to ask questions.
As always, we be teachers. We welcome questions.
One of the first questions has to do with the state of the planet as it were a living, breathing person. And because many people do not believe that that is so. How is he, she, it, this person we would refer to as planet Earth or Terra, feeling these days in this time period?
As we know, all things be energy. Is this not so?
Yes.
And if all things be energy, then the planet itself be energy. And energy cannot be destroyed, but it can be mutated. And there are periods in which the energy upon Terra has been depleted. We are now entering some of this period where the energy is depleted and disrupted in certain areas. When energy is depleted or disrupted, it must recharge. Does that understand this thing?
Yes.
Recharge. In its recharging, it can happen in many ways. One of the ways is that certain parts of the planet's weather begins to shift and change and become essentially more volatile. This volatility adds to and dissipates energies. Does that understand?
Yes.
Just as the plates upon the planet rub together, creating and dissipating energies. For when this occurs, does not energy dissipate as well?
It does indeed.
So these are the ways that thy planet adjusts. And if we can understand that this adjustment is necessary for the planet's survival, it is just that humanity has built structures and put itself in the way of the planet's health. Dost thou understand?
Yes. There are those who use the term global warming to explain this discharge, dissipation, and recharging of energy. And that is a term that they give it maybe for themselves to understand what's happening because they can't explain it any other way. Is this a normal occurrence, not just on Terra, but of other planets as well?
It is a normal occurrence, but let us also add a caveat to that, please. Although the planet has adjusted many, many times in the past, it is adjusting more rapidly and more severely now because of the devastation being done to certain parts of the planet. Does that understand?
Yes.
The planet is in in cohesion. All things balance all other things upon Terra. When they destroy habitats, when they destroy foliage, when they destroy parts of thy water systems, it destroys other parts that may be miles and miles and miles and miles and miles across the planet. All things react to all things upon Terra. The smallest destruction in China will be felt in Australia or in Quebec. Dost thou understand?
Yes.
It is these things that are making everything speed up and everything more important now.
Mm-hmm.
It is important for all entities upon Terra to begin to live in consciousness, to begin to say to themselves, if we throw this piece of paper out the window, does this have an effect upon the environment? If we take a rubber object that we believe we call a balloon,
mm-hmm,
and fill it with helium and release it, does it have an effect? And the answer to that is yes. It can have multiple effects, none of which are good. But many entities upon Terra do what they do without having conscious thought. The time is past for this. It is important that all living creatures live consciously. Dost thou understand?
Yes. I know many of us are working in that direction to live more consciously, be more aware of our surroundings and what we do with and in those surroundings. and to help to preserve what is here.
But it goes even beyond that. Let us think this, that it is harder to live consciously upon Terra now. And the reason is very simple. For many of the entities that are called humans live clustered in one space, in thy cities.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so jammed together, and there be so much noise, and so much disruption in thy daily life, that each of thee began to seal thyself off in a cloud of almost as though thee believe that thee are the only entity upon Terra. And so thee do silly things, like when thee drive, not think about what thee are doing that could create an accident. Or when thee are even walking, that they are not looking at what is around thee. So it is as though the more that they grow and the more that they cluster, the more they become self-oriented, and thy consciousness does not expand but contracts. Dost thou understand?
Yes. And I think there's also a danger, even in becoming more conscious of ourselves and our surroundings, that we begin to isolate ourselves from those we perceive as not being conscious, who are just oblivious of what's going on around them, and we want to distance ourselves from them rather than assist them in becoming more conscious.
And actually, that is true. And we need to understand that Terra is a very small orb that many, many entities coexist on. We need to be looking at this as a coexistence, not a separateness.
Mm-hmm.
We live upon the United States of America, but in the world of Terra. This is no longer suitable to think of thyself as just an American. We are universally connected now with beings, other humans, with the animals, with the plants, with the very air on Terra.
Mm-hmm.
We affect it. Everything they do affects it and affects thy neighbor. They cannot keep thyself ignorant of what is happening on thy planet in all spheres.
I have often used the analogy that if the Creator had designed the universe so that each one of us would have our own planets, of which I would believe there are sufficient number, we would all be living solitary lives on those planets. But the reality is we have all chosen to live here together, and ergo, we need to learn to coexist.
The source's intention is for all to learn. And so, being solitary, what dost thou learn?
Mm-hmm.
But if thee pretend to be solitary and wall thyself off from others, except perhaps a select few, they are still not learning.
This question has been put to you before. I've heard the question, and I'm pretty familiar with the answer, but I'd like to ask the question for our listening audience here, as well as on the Internet worldwide, and that is, why did you choose to come through at the time you did, and why do you continue to come through and share this information?
We are teachers. We have chosen to spend this period of time, what we call time, even though it does not exist, doing what we call educating. So when we were asked to come, we came. And as long as we have the ability to teach, we will come when asked. There has been a commitment between us and the vehicle that we will come whenever she asks us to, and she will be open to allowing us in whenever there is a need to educate. So this is why the process, as we do not care about time, why did we do it when we first did? Because we were asked. Why are we still there? Because we are asked.
And we thank you for coming through, and we thank her for asking. And I'm asking you, our listeners, to call if you would like to ask a question of Equinox. Bear in mind our ground rules that we've discussed before about predictions about the future, as well as questions regarding violence, death, terror, and so forth, and personal and individuals that you have lost, that you don't know where they are. We would ask you to go to findme2.com, FINDME2, and then .com. You can give us a call here this morning on a radio program, 879-547-8879-KIST. That is the phone number you can use to reach us here and speak with Equinox. You can also go to myama.org. Myama.org and get further information about much of the teaching that Equinox has shared over the years. And certainly also you can contact Joan Sabinski, and we'll give that information out near the end of the program. But we encourage your calls now at 879-547-8879-5478. Now, I and my wife have attended many of the gatherings where you have been or you were asked to attend on, from a time perspective, a monthly basis, and you have been asked many, many, many hundreds, if not thousands, of questions, and it has fascinated me that there are those who continue to ask almost the same question from one month to the next, and it never seems to go away. That seems to be a bit of a sticking point for many of us, that even when we hear the answer, we still don't believe the answer.
Humanity must learn, and humanity chose millennia ago to learn the most difficult ways instead of through ease. We have often said that the source never threw humanity out of the Garden of Eden. Humanity walked out, closed their eyes that it existed, and keep walking away. For when they hear that it is ease that can teach just as well as pain, humanity does not believe and continues the process of learning through pain. We find this interesting, but it does work for thee, does it not?
Well, it does seem to provide a payoff for us as humans.
And this is why entities can ask the questions, and if the answer is simple, still choose a different path, because simplicity does not seem real to many, for what they have learned for so long is that nothing comes easy. And we would argue this. Everything comes easy.
Are there beings throughout the universe that are going through a similar process as we are, maybe at the same level as we, of struggling through, deciding, we're going to go through pain rather than ease because it's what we do? Or are there other beings in the universe who have surpassed us and can and may have been assisting us in our processes?
All of it. All of it. There are entities on other realms and other planets that are growing as well and learning in their way. There are entities who have already learned and are assisting those in their learning. This is what Equinox does. Many of us have transited the same spaces that they are transiting now and have a vast amount of learning from these and want to pass it on. Many of us have never experienced the same but have a different perspective of other ways. So, yes, there is in that which they do not know is so much that they cannot even appreciate yet. Dost thou understand?
Yes, I do.
There are many realms and many dimensions and many planets that exist aside from thee, and all of these things have much knowledge and much learning and are so very different that they are most times incomprehensible to humanity.
The discussion that is sort of permeating the planet right now surrounds the aspect that you described at the beginning, that everything is energy. And a great deal is being talked about today of being able to create our own reality. And there are some of us who are really working very hard, and maybe harder than we need to connect with that and start to make it happen and realize that there is more than enough. There is no lack of anything. There is an abundance of everything.
There is an abundance of everything. And again, we will go back to ease rather than difficulty. If Tara stays in what we call lack consciousness, then there will never seem to be enough. It is just as the person who has millions and somehow need millions more. It is just as the person who has a refrigerator full of food but chooses to go out to eat because there is nothing in there.
Mm-hmm.
What say unto thee is that it is a wondrous gift of humanity to be able to use their imagination, for this is the first step to creating. And then the next step to creating is the belief that we have the power to have it all. And then is the belief that we deserve it all. And when all of this is in place, then we can manifest up to a point. And now we are going to throw in something else. There are consciousnesses upon Terra that in their strength of belief will override even thy vision because they are so nicely adapted to thy environment. Thus, to understand, we will give example. The majority of entities upon Terra may believe all things are energy, but because they have been taught that there is solid energy, they will never attempt to walk through a wall, although energy is anything but solid, and even thy own science proves this. Each of these should be able to walk through walls. None of these should be able to sit on furniture without falling through. But because thy belief is they may sit on furniture and they cannot walk through walls, until it is proven to be false, no one will do it.
Hmm.
Many, many, many years, no one believed that flight was possible and flight was not possible. Then something began to change, and one after another began to say, but what if? And when enough entities accepted that the what if was possible, then flight became possible. And he went from flying for just a few seconds to within very few years flying to the moon. We think this is wondrous, for this shows that impossible is not a word that has any substance unless we accept it. They are all so very powerful, but with power comes responsibility, and many on Terra would rather not accept the responsibility for their power, and so continue living in weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Understand.
Yes, yes, very much so. If you've just joined us, my guest is the entity Equinox, being channeled through Joan Sibinski, and they are in Phoenix, Arizona, and we're talking to Equinox about a wide variety of subjects, and we're going to shift gears here in just a moment. And we'd love to take your phone call if you have a question for Equinox, 879-5478, 879-5478. That's the phone number if you'd like to give us a call here on the program, and we're just about halfway through our program. Equinox, I have a question for you.
Richard, we would like to finish our last statement, please.
Please, go ahead.
Important that it be understood.
Yes.
That if thee truly accept that thee can manifest and that thee do manifest thy reality daily,
mm-hmm.
then this means thee must take responsibility for those things that aren't working as well as those that do. And this is the sticking point for most parents. The understanding that the negative in their life is also their creation. That the source loves them dearly and creates no discomfort for them. Nor does the source give them joy. All these things are their responsibility. Does so understand?
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
Shift gears.
Yes. Changing subjects or topics, as it were. And wanted to ask you a question regarding a little creature that came into our family here since we have moved to this area called Santa Barbara, California. And just very curious, when another a creature came into our life about 7 or 8 years ago by the name of Merlin, you gave us a rather rather complete description as to why and what was being thought of, and I'm curious as to this latest little creature that's come into our lives.
We would suggest thee explain what thee mean by little creatures. The most people out there assuming thee are talking of interplanetary beings.
Okay, my mistake.
Thee are speaking of an animal.
An animal. Actually, we're speaking about a kitten, no more than probably 4 or 5 weeks old at best. And it was just out in the yard, if you will, for at least 2 days, and we heard it, but I thought it was something other than what it was, so I wasn't about to investigate because not sure what it was, a little afraid of maybe being attacked. Turns out it was a rather harmless kitten, and we've taken it in and made it our own and is doing very well, but is probably exhibiting more love, if you will, than any of our other animals have, at least in the way that it is showing it.
Let us explain what pets are. Pets are thy opportunity to experience unqualified love. Pets are thy connection to the source and to thy planet. For what they show to thee is innocence, and when they are young, often, fun and freedom, and much, much joy and love. The as specific of this creature, why it had come into thy life, for now thee are settled and settling, and when thee are settled and settling, thy family always consists of pets. Is this not so?
Yes.
It was thy way of allowing thyself to form thy family with thy roots in thy new place. It showed the newness and thy ability to accept the love from this new place in this new way and surround thyself with many creatures so that thee could connect with this part of thy planet. Dost thou understand?
Yes.
So when thee watch this creature that is adapted and adapting to this space fit itself in so beauteously, it is a lesson to thee how to hunker down and feel connected.
Well, I certainly am getting to feel more and more connected. I've had some experiences with this kitten that I have not had with any other animal, including the four cats that we have. And I've never had an animal.
And a new spirit of this new place. Dost thou not believe that each place has its own differing energy?
Oh, most definitely, yes.
This kitten is of the Santa Barbara energy. This is why it is different. And thy energy has shifted when we made the commitment to the move and the met the challenges of the move. Did not thy energy now shift?
Yes.
And thy mates?
Yes.
So would thee not draw a different energy being to thee?
Well, I guess if we were wanting to draw another energy being to us, yes.
And thee were.
And apparently, because our family continues to grow.
Yes, and it will grow larger. There will be more. They have other energy around thee, too, but it is an energy more foreign. It is a bird energy, and bird energy is more foreign to humanity, for it does not bond in the same way, and it can traverse the skies until mankind shifted that. So it has source memory that is different. So it'd be slightly harder to understand. Does that understand?
I have a grasp of that. My connection with the chickens that we have is rather unusual for me, at least, because of my own personal history dealing with animals and geese and ostriches and so forth, and not having great relationships with them as a child. And yet, I absolutely love going down and being around them, caring for them, collecting the eggs and that type of thing. It is just a marvelous experience. So, yes, I do understand that.
Additionally, food source animals have a different energy than non-food source animals. For food source animals have an energy of release and love through sacrifice. Dost thou understand?
I believe so, yes.
For entities that commit to entering solely for the purpose of sustenance to another, what a wondrous gift this is for thee, and should be graciously accepted with love.
Oh, I thank them every time I collect the eggs and pat them all on the head. Those who I can reach, because I am very grateful for their contribution, not just to our food supply, but also to others who we share it with. And it's great to be able to do that as well. If you are just joining us, folks, you're listening to Equinox, who is being channeled through Joan Sabinski, and we'll be talking with Joan a little bit near the end of the program, possibly. We're taking your phone calls at 879-5478. That's 879-KIS. And we'd love to have you give us a call and ask a question. If you would like to give us a call, we'll take your calls. And you can use whatever name you'd like and ask a question. Just stay away from predictions and a lot of things that might bring down the energy level as well. What about the spiritual growth of the planet?
We have been looking to what we call the 100th Monthly effect. Are you familiar with this effect?
Yes, I am. But if you'd like to just briefly explain that for those who don't know what that is.
The brief explanation would be when enough entities upon Terra come to the great consciousness, aha, the entire planet at once will be at that space, that conscious space. We have been working in our education process in hopes that when each entity upon Terra accepts their powerfulness and the responsibility to go with this, and when each entity upon Terra understands that they are linked to everything else, that there is no separation, that it is an illusion, that all will come to this space of the 100th monkey, and Terra will be the planet that it was meant to be, all things of Eden, all things of wonderment, all things of peace and harmony in this connection. It is a wondrous thing. So when we think about the process of the spiritual growth of Terra, this is what we keep strongly to us. This is where we hold our creative visualization that this planet is the wondrous place we know it to be. Dost thou understand?
Yes, I do. And I'm certainly hoping that that 100th monkey will get with the program and hurry it up just a little bit. By the way, folks, if you're looking for the website, it's myama.org. That's myama.org. And Equinox, for point of clarification, if we might ask you to just to tell us, what does the word or phrase Mayama mean? Where does it come from?
It is a universal acknowledgement of the source and spiritual center of all things. The closest we can come upon Terra would be a phrase such as shalom or aloha. It is both a welcome and a goodbye and a love and a peace and an acknowledgement of the connection to all things packed up in one word.
And of course we use that when we come to you and we introduce ourselves and we say Mayama or hello.
Yes.
And I don't remember my first experience of meeting you and asking you questions, but I do remember that we have been there many times and asked many questions and much discussion about where I wanted it to be, and I have finally made it to the water.
And this is where they belong.
And it feels very good.
All things should strive to find their center and go to where they belong. It is a sadness to us that many entities upon Terra live, work, and be within a place, whether it be within themselves, or a physical vicinity, or a relationship, or a career that they hate. But they remain there because they are too fearful to make a step that breaks a pattern. But we would ask, could it be any worse than what they are living? And we would say, no, just different. And the interesting thing is, Terra is a planet where all things change, no matter how hard that they hold to what is. It will be different shortly, and then different again.
Mm-hmm.
So if we embrace the differences instead of live within a planetary fear construct, what a wondrous, exciting place Terra would be.
Well, I know that there are lyrics to a song that go something along the lines of the end of the world as we know it. And the way I look at that, it's not so much the end of the world, destruction, disaster, calamity, as much as the world as I knew it 5 years ago is gone. That is the end there. And there's always that ending as well as a beginning.
Always. And if they can look at how much better, instead of humanity's focus on what is no longer and sees it as bad, everything is perspective.
Mm-hmm.
All things are thy perspective. So they can live in a perspective of what they don't have instead of a perspective of what they do and stay miserable or be happy. It is choice. Everything is choice. There are no beings on Terra that do not have free will. Things are not done to thee. They create these things. And if thee could revel in thy creation, then thee will create wondrous things. And this is what is meant to be. Terra is a wondrous planet. It is filled with abundance. There is food growing on the trees. my eyes.
It's all there. Before we move forward, I want to remind our listeners, if you have a question for Equinox, 879-547-8879, KIST is our phone number. My wife is here in studio with me and has a question for you having to do with the wondrous things that are coming our way and her way this next year.
What we would say is that we have been doing much planning and setting steps. Does that understand?
Yes.
And we know that this is a very creative entity, thy wife.
Yes.
And it is time for her creativity to take fruition, to begin to pick it and call it and offer it out. So this is a much creative time for her, which is very exciting.
And for us as a family?
Much growth. Many more close contacts, many more loving beings being drawn to thee, much teaching that thee can do. It is a wondrous time of unity.
And then I would ask specifically then for myself as far as this next year.
It is important that thee push for thy goal of being heard, of expanding thy abilities to communicate and make a difference through thy communication. We would even hope that both thee and thy wife begin to write and have these things published, whether it be within thy newspapers, magazines, or actually writing pamphlets or books to help open minds. Dost thou understand? Did we lose thee, Richard?
I am right here. And we have a caller who wishes to ask you a question. And the caller's name is, I believe it's Damon. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And what is your question?
My name is Damon.
Good day to you and Equinox. I am going through a fairly dramatic change in my life and leaving work and most of modern society and leaving on a journey to China, Tibet, and India. And it's a journey of discovery, hopefully, and I have some innate fears that I'm not sure whether it's intuition warning me or whether they're just innate fears that I need to get over. So what advice do you have for me?
We have done this before. This is thy third journey of discovery. We have had one journey with the entity known as Marco Polo. We had another journey in which we tried to circumnavigate the globe. That one failed miserably and we drowned. And now we have this one. And what we would say unto these, if we approach this as a discovery, not just of thee, but of the unity of all mankind, of the connectedness, of the alikenesses, then this will be a wondrous journey and thee have nothing to fear, for thee will come back with much knowledge, not only of thyself and others, but many past lives, and a spirituality so deep it will never be shaken again. Dost thou understand?
Yes, I do. That is very wonderful to hear.
I'm excited for this journey. It is a wondrous journey, and we congratulate thee. Make sure that thee are imparting to others as much as possible each of thy steps in thy journey.
I will do that.
And Damon, would love to hear from you not only during your journey but when you return. I think that would be fascinating that you are one of those who is willing to take that step and put everything aside and just go. I take it this is sort of following a dream of yours?
It's really the culmination of a lot of frustration and dissatisfaction. And some months ago, I decided that it was time to move on and pretty much leave it and walk away. And it's, to some degree, felt like providence because many things have fallen into line as soon as the decision was made and the acceptance that it was something I needed to do.
We have often been in search of thy center this life, but never found
yes.
it. because you were searching for thy center outwardly instead of inwardly. And when they listened to thy voice, when it finally became loud enough to hear, then they heard, and now they are on the right path. We congratulate
you. Thank you.
Well, Damon, please, again, our congratulations to you, too. And please, if you would, stay in touch with us, whether it's through email or this program. We would love to hear your progress.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad I talked to you.
Thank you very much for calling.
Take care.
You, too.
Yama.
Good day.
And that is how easy it is to move forward. Equinox, my wife and I, we back I can't believe it's almost been 2 years as far as time goes, as the human brain thinks. But nonetheless, it seems like only yesterday when we made the decision after certain events happened in our lives where both of our jobs were eliminated, mine because of the sale of the station I was working for and hers because of an untenable situation that she said enough is enough and said, hey, let's do something different. And so we said, well, we'll have the same situation in Phoenix as if we moved to Santa Barbara. So we moved, and it's one of the two places that we look forward to living out many more years. And sometimes it's just what you have to do, just like Damon was saying, you know, the providence or whatever, the events just started to fall into place when you make the decision.
It is interesting, however, that most entities on Terra, instead of walking toward their joy, have to do it because there is no other choice.
I found that fascinating, too, because I realized after we had lost our jobs and decided to make the decision that we didn't have to wait to lose our jobs to make the decision.
Exactly. But this is what Terrans do over and over and over again. It takes a catastrophe to begin to live in joy.
Well, I've often said that if mankind were to give universal seminars, it would be in crisis management, because we do it so well, or supposedly so well. If you'd like to call Equinox and ask her a question, you can do so, 879-5478, 879-5478, and certainly look forward to expanding this program, not just in terms of number of hours, but also in terms of expanding to other ears around the country, if not around the globe. I would really love that opportunity to share what you have, Equinox, as well as other guests that we have that we've had and will have over the coming days and weeks. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to ask you to give our listeners just a brief description of who and or what Equinox is. And I'm going to grab a phone call and we'll go to that as soon as I come back.
Equinox is a combined consciousness of many energies on many, on all known planes, planets, and dimensions of consciousness. And we are teachers. And we come and we go when necessary, and our amounts expand and decrease as necessary.
Okay.
We are.
And we have Anne on the phone asking asking Equinox a question. Go ahead, Anne.
Mayama Ann?
Yeah. Hi. I'm in a place in life where I recognize that the issues that I have in terms of my relationship with my husband and daughters are similar issues in terms of the work that I do, and I am seeing how it's not all fragmented and the issues in one place are totally separate and cut off from the others. At this point in my life, I would love to find the path to clear things out in the most efficient way and not keep kind of doing another lifetime wasted on the minutia.
What we would say unto thee is that they have spent the majority of thy lifetimes on Terra, and let us say Terra is not thy origin planet, but they have been here for much, much time. But they have spent much of thy lifetime on Terra in power struggles. Thy whole life stems down to the one fact of learning right control of power and beginning to understand whether or not they want to be happy or whether they want to control. Thus, understand. when thee understand that thee control only thy own consciousness and how thee feel about things, and that others will think and do whatever they want independent of what thee need, if thee can understand that and allow that to just be, then it will all shift for thee. Dost thou understand?
Yes.
It is all about letting go.
Okay, Anne, does that help?
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for the question and for the searching as well. Also, if you would like to get in touch with Joan Savinsky, who is the channel of the, I believe it's Unconscious Channel of Equinox, you can do that, and I'm going to be giving you a way to do that here in just a moment. I want to ask Equinox before we wrap up the program, when we have about 4 or 5 minutes left in the broadcast, I wanted to ask you if you would share with us some closing thoughts for this coming year.
It is very important to allow thyself to feel powerful and not powerless. We understand that we are coming into a year that will set up politics again for 4 to 8 to however many years, and that many entities upon Terra feel powerless in this decision-making process. We would ask for thee to stop feeling powerless and work to make this country of thine, thy country, and not turn it over to others. This be the most important thing we can do in the year ahead, is take back thy power and become a strong being within a strong country, instead of a weak being allowing others to tell thee what to believe, do, and think.
We wish to thank you very much for sharing with us and for being a part of this program. And for us, it's a first. We never had an experience quite like this on the radio program before, and I understand that this is actually a first for you as well.
Yes, it is. That is why we had to adjust the energy. We would have instead had nothing but our energy sounds, which we know we do not hear well.
I have we haven't gotten a translator built yet for that. But again, we do thank you very much. And at this particular point, I'm going to again thank you for being with us. And if Elaine is there, she can go ahead and begin the process. And again, our greatest thanks and appreciation for your spending this time with us.
And we thank thee very much for the opportunity to teach. Mayama.
And Elaine, if you'll stay on the line there, we'll be coming back to you as soon as we're finished with our program. And just a reminder that if you would like to get more information, if you'd like to contact Joni, we certainly would encourage you to do so by going to our website and going to the link that's on the website, and that is going to be richard@richarddugan.com. That is my email address. There is also another email address that you can send your information to through to Joni, and that is, I believe it's punkwee, that's P-U-N-K-W-E-E, at Juno, J-U-N-O.com. And you can send an email to Joan Sabinski at that particular email address. If you have any difficulties, email me, and I'll make sure that your information gets forwarded on to her, and then she can contact you. And we ask you to join us again next week. We have a real interesting program coming up. We all bought a house. We all rent a place. We all are living somewhere. Doesn't matter where it is that you're living. We all live with the accoutrements that were put there, or we put them there. We make the place, the space, our own. Is it a sacred space? Is it a place that you enjoy being? I can honestly tell you that I have only lived in a few dwellings that I would consider to be sacred spaces. And it was based upon putting those things, not only energetically, but physical things, into those spaces and helping to make them much more, I'm not sure exactly what the word is, appropriate and fitting for my energy and my wife's energy. And we're going to be talking with a couple who have a business that allows you to create your own sacred space. And they are the folks who run a company called Sacred Space, the Sacred Space, and my guests will be Jack and Rose Hirshhorn, and they will be joining us next Saturday at this time, and we certainly hope that you will join us as well. We would love to take your phone calls. How can you make your house more than just a home? You can make it a sacred space. Well, you can do that by giving us a call and talking with them, and they will be more than happy to assist you in that process. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you very much for joining us here on Tell Me Your Story. Have yourselves a terrific afternoon.